with me now, Iraj Ibidian, who's the founder of Pan-African Capital. Thank you so much for your time, Iraj. We're looking at the headline story today, obviously being the word from the South African Foreign Minister, Ronald Lamola, who is saying that South Africa will push ahead with their genocide case against Israel at the International Court of Justice, despite the pressure that we are seeing coming from the US towards South Africa's economy in general. I think, Iraj, for those that potentially haven't been following the story, it would be extremely helpful if you unpack the status quo.
Thank you very much, Bronwyn, and greetings to our viewers. I think the background to this, of course, has different dimensions. Iran has been a very active investor and promoter of certain regime in the Middle East. South Africa has been either consciously or inadvertently a partner in many of the plots and plans of Iran, most importantly to the extent that MTN has been the facilitator of communication in Iran and in Syria, has been a very important enabler of, most importantly, the suppression within Iran, and more specifically, the genocide that took place between 2013 and 2024 in Syria. That genocide, which is recorded by the Human Rights Committee of the United Nations and many, many other human rights organizations, led to, between 2013 and 2021, led to over 750,000 murder, and this was a military type of assault on citizens. As you know, Assad, the previous president of Syria, was the only and has been the only leader in the world, in the history as we know it, that has used chemical weapons against his own nations with the help of the Iranian military support. So you have a background here that is absolutely horrific in terms of genocide in Syria, and over 750,000 killed, and over a few days that, according to an Iranian general who was at that time stationed in Syria to make sure that the Syrian regime stays in power, he brags about, and this is not my word, it's his word, on recording available on YouTube, saying that we kept pounding the towns and villages day and night with artillery until they were all killed or fled. The United Nations came to quantify that event meant 750,000 estimated men and kids and women mostly in a genocidal incident, call it. South African embassy was there, and United Nations was there. South Africa was in the United Nations. It was during Obama's time, and a lot of publicity around it. And South Africa was quiet, said nothing, kept investing through our MTN in Syria. Now, this is the background that informs and should inform our reflection on what is happening now. This is, of course, no way to take away from the fact that what was happening on the side of Israelis' attack and genocide in Gaza is defensible. Not at all. It's about the inconsistency of South Africa being selective in, for example, taking the cause for Palestinians, but ignoring completely what was happening in Syria under the daily, if you like, observance of our ambassador and the rest of the globe. More than that, and alongside that, as we speak, Iran is the only country globally that's got constitutionalized misogynist laws, much like apartheid, that in terms of law, women are regarded as half men. They cannot decide what they want to wear. They cannot sing. They cannot participate in music. They cannot do what human beings are created to do, which means to be individualistic, to be themselves. So now you have a regime that does that type of suppression of his own people, let's say of 90 million people, half of them are women. And these are not subjective issues. We've had uprising in Iran against this absolutely apartheid style of suppression of women. We've had thousands and thousands, cases upon cases of girl scholars being subjected to chemicals, being blinded, be really suppressed beyond what is humanly thinkable. And yet South Africa has been silent year after year, decade after decade. And to the best of my knowledge, not only South African government, even South African parliament has never held a session to say, but how can it be that as a multilateral or as a member of decent human community, we can have relationship with a state that in its constitution and its laws have exactly what apartheid had. We had cases where some minority groups in Southeast and Southwest have been genocidal while or style killed and being killed. As we speak, Bronwyn, the peace laureate in Iran, Narges Mohammadi, has been in prison, is in prison, dying in prison. She's the equivalent of our Bishop Tutu in terms of her support of human rights, equality, and specifically women's rights. And yet, to the best of my knowledge, the South African government has not issued a statement to say this is not acceptable behavior on the part of a member of the human community. And for Iran to argue that this is the law of our land, we're doing our own way culturally and so on, is exactly like Netanyahu says, this is to my country, this is the protection of our interests. So exactly the same, except that Netanyahu is unfortunately exacting those atrocities against 2 million people. The regime in Iran exacting on 90 million, specifically 45, 50 million of them women. Now, it is this inconsistency that South Africa has to deal with and puts us, Bronwyn, on the back foot. We, in the court of international opinion, in the court of checking the facts, it puts us on the back foot and it's put a serious risk our national economic interests. So, yeah, I can, I guess, sympathize with Minister Lemola saying we have to continue because we've started, and I'm not a lawyer, I do not know the procedures, but clearly South Africa has gone wrong with that case, but that is no excuse not to protect the national interest. That's where my view is.
Let's talk about that national interest and where to from here. Because by all accounts, it could be calamitous for South Africa.
Yeah, absolutely. Because at the moment, if I read correctly, our government is taking a very old style, not necessarily incorrect, but old style political posture, which goes along the following line. We are for multilateralism. We are principled. We are following our values. Well, that position put within a context that the big powers globally, Russia does not believe in multilateralism, believes that it has to do what it has to do in Ukraine, and blames NATO. NATO says we have to do what we have to do. And of course, most recently, President Trump comes and says all these multilateral frameworks are against the United States, so I'm going to throw them out of the window or put a big, big break on it for now. Now, the big China is the same, UK and EU the same. So the big players, the big participants of multilateralism have, by all practical purposes, left the paradigm. They are doing their own things. Italy is doing its own thing. Germany is doing its own thing, etc., etc., etc. And yet, South Africa is not playing the old game, which puts the national interest at risk. I must emphasize, Bronwyn, that as an economist, we all agree and we can prove it that multilateralism is the best for human community. But multilateral institutions and the practice of multilateralism on a selective basis by all players, United States, Russia, China, and now suddenly South Africa. Selectively, you want to be multilateral, you compromise your national interest. We need to rethink. We need to literally put a alt, delete, control, and reboot, and go to a different paradigm that protects jobs, protects our growth, and protects the welfare of the nation.
Let's unpack the protection of national interest a little more, because Dr. Franz Cognier, a political analyst, yesterday was saying on Biz News that we are fundamentally eliminating the concept of fixed investment, robust fixed investment into South Africa, and we will be stuck in a low growth rate for the foreseeable future because of how we are aligning ourselves on the world stage.
Yeah, I think it's it is absolutely right. One can even, if you like, draw more horrific possibilities within that subset if we go that route. My view is that if we don't arrest this deteriorating relationship with the United States, and the subtext of it is very important, it's not just with the United States, it's with the entire Western Bloc. And I can assure you that soon Germany will be on the same page as Trump. Italy already is, and the French are trying to make up their minds. So it's not just a madman called Trump that is doing these things. It's a global movement, a backlash against a dysfunctional multilateralism as driven by the current multilateral institutions, the United Nations, the Security Council, and all the associated agencies. Now, if this is a mega trend, it would be very, very foolish to think that it's just Trump and 4 years from now he'll be out of the picture. I can assure you that 4 years from now, the Trumpite mentality not only will take root in the United States, but Europe, mainstream Europe, will go the same way. And China and Russia are there in any case. So we need to be very, very cognizant of the mega trend in political backlash against unbridled globalism, which is abused by some players. Now, if that's the case, then South Africa needs to make a following decisions. What type of economy we are? Where are the sources of our long-term capital? Is it Russia? Is it Malaysia? Is it East, so to speak? And where is the source of our structural network of growth and investment and job creation? Is our mining companies Russian-owned or Europe-owned, America-owned? And it's really, when I say we got to reboot, that's the type of rebooting that the cabinet has to do. And I'm afraid that from what I hear and from what I read, including the president's latest medium-term development plan, it does not have an element of reboot. It's the old game playing, let's say, whilst the globe is playing soccer, we are all playing cricket, and the two don't match. So we need to really reboot, we need to rethink, we need to be unemotional, but we need to be professional and committed to the national interest, which means if I look at, for example, the reality of the deteriorating relationship, and everybody talks about AGOA, which is of course correct, but AGOA is not the worst of the cases. For me, it's the dynamics of the financial markets, both on the short and the long-term end. Even the rollover of government bonds next May could run into problems. It's as simple as that. And the government that is dependent on the global financial markets for its financing of its debt, the bulk of which comes from Europe, United States, and Japan, has to be very, very careful. Our corporates, likewise. So I think the structure of our economy, whether we like it or not, historically is interwoven with the financial markets of the West, of which the United States is the dominant player. Therefore, the cabinet needs to sit down with the right professionals. Clearly, within the cabinet, there isn't sufficient insight and expertise, which is fine. But they need to bring the right experts around the table. They need to look at the numbers. The National Treasury has got lots of it, and the private sector, banking and financial sector broadly, has got all the required information
we need to have a national interest in Durban, which looks at how do we reposition whilst this hectic, volatile global turmoil or tsunami is hitting us. It will pass, but it may take 10 to 15 years. We cannot wait and play the old music when the global game is changing, playing a different dance.
Iraj, do we have the opportunity to retrace our position? We've come out very boldly on a number of different aspects saying we will not be bullied. We will not retrace, specifically now with the Foreign Minister Ronald Lamola saying this is a matter of principle. We are going to stand behind our case of genocide against Israel at the ICJ. Is it too late?
Yeah, I think
how do we retrace our position from here?
Yeah, so remember, the players are rational players. They're looking at rational win-win outcomes. A political statement by a minister, by a president is important, but it's not the end of the day. The answer to your question is absolutely we can, but we can do it piecemeal. We cannot be ad hoc. We cannot be headline-driven. We need to sit down and say, in this environment, what's the best configuration of our foreign policy, local policy, economic policies? And with that package, engage the United States, not on a headline basis. On a headline, President Trump characteristically will say, oh, you are doing a lot of bad things. Well, what bad thing means? Lamola would say, we're sticking to our rules. What does that mean? There is no rules. As I just mentioned to you, the South African government ignored the rules of the constitution, protection of human rights in Syria, ignoring it in Iran, ignoring it in Rwanda, ignoring it everybody else, everywhere else. So those statements mean nothing. Policy stance is a different thing. And we need to really, I cannot overemphasize the importance of absolute priority, meaning the next couple of days, not a few years for the cabinet to reflect on. The next few days, bring the best of breed in the country, restructure, change whatever needs to be changed as a credible, sustainable package of policies that would make a win-win outcome for the United States and for South Africa. And then stay vigilant.
Dr. Iraj Abidian, founder of Pan-African Capital, thank you so much for joining us here on BizNews.
Thank you, Rhonda.